Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I was listening to you on the way in, and I agreed with everything you said, so I was going, well, what am I going to do on this?
So,
especially what you got me to. You said, if I'm the Packers, I'm passing at will.
Yes!
And I said, well, who's that? They got everybody else you should pay. Oh, he meant at will.
Yes.
I thought I missed somebody in the secondary.
Yes. No, I did. Look, somebody did text in, which is the will on this? And I was like, no. And then also, I know that you're a White Sox guy, but did you also hear we had Fergie Jenkins in studio this morning?
I heard you were going to have him on.
It's been
or you had it already?
Yeah, it's already happened.
I must have when I got here in the building. Darn it.
That's
even if he played for the Cubs.
Yeah, I figured you would.
He was awesome.
You would allow that. And guess what? He signed a couple of baseballs for our charity auction in 2 months.
Way to go, Fergie.
He is awesome. Now, for the Cowboys, I know we talked with Steven about this. Jerry mentioned it. You had talked about it last week, the ramp up for Jadeveon Clowney with the expectation that we'll see him this weekend.
Uh-huh.
What are your realistic, both short and long-term, hopes and expectations for him?
I'm hoping he can recreate 2023.
Okay.
He had 9.5 sacks.
That would work.
For the Ravens.
Yeah.
But then maybe playing with a very quality defensive front helps you out on the edge, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works here. I'm thinking 20 snaps, maybe somewhere in there for this first game. I don't know that you want to overdo it. I think you have to kind of keep an eye on him and how he's doing out there on the edge. But as a maybe designated pass rusher, maybe we get a better idea. Although by time they get into practice, when it's really significant and that we don't get to watch, but you know, we'll see how much he's able to do. You know, he's tall and lanky. He's not like this big, sturdy, stop the run defensive end.
Right.
Although Schottenheimer, you know, he was with him in Seattle, said that, you know, he played the run and he can make a difference on the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see. I'm not sitting here going, okay, he's going to come in and replace, you know, Parsons' 12 sacks. But can you give me a half a dozen? You know, and create some pressure where the quarterback is just not sitting in the pocket, tapping his feet and his arms going, I guess I can't show you, like he's cocking it and then go, okay, let me throw there, you know, because you got time to read everything. So if he can just help with that, and he's tall, so maybe he can get in the eyesight of nothing else. I'm not acting like he's the savior, but I can't imagine it'll hurt.
Yeah, and a lot of times having a veteran around that knows a couple of nuances.
Yes.
Sure.
And I saw him already talking to some of the young guys even last week. So this will be 2 weeks of practice. I'm assuming they're in pads today. So probably be the first time he's had pads on since the first week in January.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So take that for what it's worth.
Yesterday you had mentioned, and this was after the game, you'd mentioned that you talked to Kenny Clark about a couple of things regarding that game. Have you talked to him any more about how he feels in this defense and how, you know, what their plan is heading into the Green Bay?
Not going into Green Bay, but I think he feels very comfortable on what they're asking him to do. I think he's feeling more comfortable here in the locker room and even in the city, right? He's got his car now. He felt like he just got let out of jail. And he's got his own house now instead of living in the apartment or condo, whatever he was doing, and the fam moved in. So from a life standpoint, he's kind of a little bit more settled in than when he first got here. But yeah, he seems to be enjoying it. And boy, does he play hard. And so, you know, between him and Osa up the middle, if they can just get something off the edge. You know, we've been saying, can you get some push in the middle to help the guys on the edge?
Right.
Well, I think they're sort of getting that, but now the edge guys have got to step up, and I need to see Dante Fowler do something.
Man, I'm with you. I know we talked about this earlier in the week. I was pretty stoked about that signing, especially, you know, for the cost. And he has been non-existent so far this season.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the deal is, if they're using him differently, if they're so paranoid about making sure they set the edge that guys aren't letting it fly off the edge. You know, I was thinking, man, he came in here with 10.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
Because I counted out everybody that left with sacks.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that yesterday? Yeah, maybe. And it was 38 sacks went out the door. 12 by Micah, right?
And yeah.
But other guys had sacks. You know, if people needed a reminder, Golston had 5.5. Carl Lawson, 5. Overshown, 5. You know, none of that's in the building right now. So they need some of these other guys to figure out how to get to the quarterback but without vacating the edge.
Now, we've talked numerous times about how the pass rush and the secondary work in cooperation. What do you think about Zion Childress being picked up by the Texans? Yesterday, a lot of people were asking us about getting C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'm just kind of bummed because we saw him in training camp.
Yeah.
He looked really good. But I know, like, history says there are lots of players who look good in training camp who don't ever have, like, a productive NFL career. But at a time when you can't really cover anybody, I was disappointed by this.
Well, they haven't used him.
Right.
Now, he's on the practice squad.
Right.
And like this last elevation. So he's been elevated the last two games, right? And I looked this past game, he played 5 special team snaps. But it erodes what you perceive as your depth at that position, right?
Yeah.
Because behind Reddy Stewart, who's starting in the nickel when they go 3 cornerbacks, now who? Because he was the guy. That's why he was being elevated, right?
Yeah.
So they don't have another ready-made cornerback unless this is an indication that they feel maybe strongly that Bland gets back this week.
Right.
Now, I don't know. I still think that's iffy. I haven't seen him on the resistance cords yet. So usually we see guys before practice, you know, working with Britt Brown, but I haven't seen him do that yet. So it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, he can do today to potentially say, well, at least I can come in on nickel downs or something like that, you know, or maybe I can give you 20 snaps on the outside. It'll be interesting to see exactly what he can do, because losing him, I mean, that was a guy that was basically playing 2 positions for you. Not at the same time, but you understand.
Yeah.
If you're going 2 outside corners, then he's one of them. If you're going 3, he can move into the slot. And so it'd be interesting to see what happens there. And then one more week when they can get some of the guys back off the reserve list, if indeed they're ready to start practicing.
The lion's share of targets and looks, first looks, obviously, go to CeeDee Lamb. Is that going to be the same now? Is it going to be lion's share goes to Pickens, or is it going to be a little bit different of a passing offense?
Well, a lot of that with the looks depends on the play call, because I don't think every time they call a pass play, the first place that goes is CeeDee all the time, right? There's some plays called for for George Pickens. So now maybe he gets the lion's share of the looks or the calls that might have been to CD. So, you know, it's not like, you know, you call a pass play and the quarterback's going to go eeny, meeny, miny. You know, it's like, you know, you know where the defense formation before you even take the ball tells you, okay, my first look is going to be here. So I would imagine that, you know, he'll be a more integral part of what they're trying to do. But to me, the other guys have to step up. They've got to produce. Tolbert's got to produce. Kevontae Turpin, don't ignore him. Get the ball in his hands.
But don't ask Turpin to be something that he's not.
No,
right?
No. I think he's a wide receiver. I'm telling you, when we were watching training camp, they were throwing the ball to him. And it wasn't just nine routes. He was running curls over the middle, comebacks. They were treating him like a wide receiver. So get him the ball. You know, get the ball in his hands. Speed. Now, he's got to have a responsibility of getting open and absolutely, running the right routes, right?
Yeah.
But use him as a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's. I'm not sending him and saying go high point. I'm creating.
Well, the high point's not very high.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and that's why I'm not doing that. But I do feel like there's all these other. I saw it too, Mickey. When these slants, these drags across the middle, where he can create space with his speed.
Man,
too.
If you can get him the ball on the run, where he's not just settling down, turning and catching the ball. If you can get him the ball on the run. I think he could be awfully, awfully valuable, and they're going to need that because you know darn well the Packers are going to concentrate on Pickens, however they choose. Do they have a cornerback they trust going man the entire time? Okay, fine, George, let's go. But if they're going to have a safety hovering over the top at all times, then you got to run shorter routes and figure out how to get him open underneath. And it would be really good if they continue to run the football to occupy the linebacker so they're not just dropping into zones and clogging things up. Make them respect the run. Make Micah Parsons respect the run and just make sure that it's not third and nine a whole bunch of times where he comes flying off the edge or he's looping inside and you got to figure out where number one is.
Now, I had another question for you this morning that has nothing to do with this Cowboys team.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
No, but I think
trusting
you're,
my memory.
No,
huh?
You will definitely remember this player. So, and we look at this every single year. The NFL releases all their modern era players nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I feel like we have talked till we're blue in the face about Darren Woodson, and we should continue to do so because he's awesome. What I was curious about this morning, though, is I feel like we don't ever really hear much of anything about Eric Williams advancing in these things. And when we talk about the Great Wall of Dallas back in the 90s, I mean, they don't have real Hall of Fame representation outside of Larry Allen. And it feels disingenuous to be like, oh, yeah, they were the best. But just because of that one guy who wasn't even there for the first Super Bowl. Well, what do you think about Eric Williams as a potential Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I don't know if longevity gets in his way because he had really 2-3 good years before the accident, and it kind of diminished somewhat of his skills those last few years of his career. And I think maybe that's the way it's looked at, like you were really good in let's see, his first year would have been 91, but 92 to start.
And he was first team all pro in three of the next four or five seasons.
Yeah. I think he got back into one of them after, the near fatal accident that he had, which by the way, when I take that, exit ramp off of 635 onto the North Dallas Tollway. I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
That he missed that turn. And it's a really bad turn, by the way. If anybody can fix it out there, that's my opinion, right?
Yeah,
I like it.
It's been that way for
but
a while.
But yeah, no, he was really good, but I just think it sort of diminished his physical skills, after that. But he was really good. And I remember the story about, you know, he was kind of the backup. And then in 92, Jimmy told Tony Wise that, well, Eric Williams, our starter, right tackle. And Tony was like, well, yeah, but I got it. And Jimmy was like, there's no well buts. Figure it out, right? And so I think at that time, if I remember, they were using a little bit of Nate Newton outside at tackle, which Nate was horrified by because he knew he's going to have to face either Reggie White or Clyde Simmons, right? So they finally moved him inside, and then Kevin Gogan became kind of a swing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guy, and then Nate had to deal with Jerome Brown, and he hated that, right?
Yeah.
Jerome Brown. But think about that front that they had with Clyde Simmons, Jerome Brown, Reggie White, Mike Pitts, Pitts and Golic in the middle. That was the team that sacked Troy 11 times in 91. 11 in one game.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's Micah's goal for this weekend. So we'll see how it goes.
Not going to happen.
We will catch up with you again tomorrow, good sir.
All right, we'll take a look at as much of practice as we get to watch and report back to you.
Thank you very much. There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus all-star baseball players are just like us, next on the Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan reminded you not to write yourself off yet. It just takes some time, you know, a little bit of everything. Mm. And right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Because everything will be all right.
Everything
will be all right.
It just takes some time. Little girl, you're in the middle of...
That's one of my favorite bands,
dude. He hates us so much.
I'm sorry, I can't resist.
You know, maybe I should come back with Rock Lobster every single break. It's time for AM on the FM.
You hate the middle that much? I did not know that.
No, I'm just saying.
Politics. Oh, us singing.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't like
politics.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I got confused.
I don't hate the singing. I just hate the song that got overplayed and overplayed and overplayed for about a decade. Mm. Coming back into my life at a time that I did not realize. But my name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, all-star baseball players are just like us. What do I mean by that? Logan Webb, the all-star pitcher, is going to tell you here in just a few minutes. A story from the all-star game here in Texas. He had some great memories, or maybe he doesn't actually remember much. You'll find out in just a little bit. But gentlemen, we're going to play off of yesterday's question of the day. I asked you guys yesterday, what was something that you collected and You thought it was really going to take off and it was going to send you into retirement whenever you sold it 20 plus years from then. And it just ended up being a total flop. What is something that you collected or something that you saved that you're really proud that you collected and that you saved over time? It could be worth a ton of money, or maybe it's just something that's still relevant. 877-881-1053. What's your biggest success story of, I know this is going to be worth something one day, I got to keep this?
I really thought he was going to ask, what's the thing that you threw away that you wish you hadn't? Because my He-Man toy collection is the one that I wish. But this is a good question, too. And Kevin appears as if he has the answer already.
Oh, the answer.
The only
answer. I'm not going to say that. I have my answer.
I don't know. I think you feel like it's the answer.
Yeah. No, I think we should all be willing to listen to other people's thoughts and opinions.
Very interesting.
Controversial.
Is it? That doesn't feel like that should be controversial.
Politics.
But
all right. Politics.
That's fair.
The thing that I'm very proud that I held on to is my grandfather's watch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's one of those old-timey pocket watches.
Those are so cool.
And he's still with us, mind you. But my other grandfather also had one of those old-timey pocket watches that as a child, I would play with it all the time. I don't know how my dad, like, left it out for me to... You guys are ridiculous.
We did not say,
anything.
Never say a word again on radio.
What?
But it was hanging up on my dad's keychain area, and I was like, "All right, this is a watch that I will enjoy." So I have two of those pocket watches.
Oh,
and I have no. They could be from Sears, you know, and be worth zero things.
Yeah. Sure.
But for me, like, it's a really like you said, they're so cool looking.
Yeah,
they're timeless. And Avery and Carter both have had suits that they've had to wear for some event, and they've had a vest. And they put the little pocket watch in their little vest and walked around with that little.
I see.
And they just
fancy.
And so it was really cool that I was able to have that for them. That's one of the things that I thought whenever I was a kid, this might be worth something one day. And I've never gotten them checked. Still have never gotten them checked. But they're really, it's really still awesome to this day. And my dad's coin collection.
Yeah.
My dad gave me his coin collection a while back, and he's got a few coins in there that I went and priced that are very, like, worth a lot.
See, and that's the thing when I, like, think about some of the struggles that people have with cards, is I look at, like, some older coins, and I'm like, this is the same as that one that sold for $8,000, and they're like, no, it's really not. And I'm like, why not? And it's the same thing. I'm like, man, this is just how I feel in conversations when I'm like, no, I saw somebody trying to sell us on eBay for $12,000. And you're like, I'm so sorry. It is not worth anything.
Valid. That is valid.
Anything like that. So for me, I was going to say one of the things, and I think you'll get a kick out of this, Alec, is I have been really excited to see the rest of the world catch up in interest of wrestling cards.
Yeah.
Because I was collecting wrestling cards like long, long ago in the Attitude Era, and even some old like WCW cards that are worth a lot more than I ever thought they were going to be. I just like opened them for fun. And that is one thing that makes me kind of sad about the card game now, is I would love opening like wrestling boxes and Star Wars boxes just for fun, because I love those two like products. And now everybody else does too, and they cost a gazillion dollars sometimes.
Yeah, and we got Top's Finest WWE dropping this week too. Yes. Gonna have to hit up some of our friends, maybe RJ Dukes. Go head out and see what they've got.
By the way, we might need to make a announcement about
whenever it's ready,
upcoming event.
You know what? We can do that next week.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I missed you say this.
Yeah.
Did you see the Disney characters cards that they're dropping?
Yeah, Topps Chrome coming out today.
Did you just say this?
No, but okay. I mean, they've had cards in the past. I haven't seen the new version.
They're wearing baseball uniforms, like MLB uniforms. And I just think that's like a Mickey Mouse wearing, I think it's cool.
So back in the day, I think they were called comic ball cards. It had Bugs Bunny.
Sounds very generic.
No,
ball. Like Adrian when she's like, oh, they're playing the sports ball today.
You're right. But they had like Bugs Bunny, and then like Nolan Ryan would be in the set.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was super cool too.
877-881-1053. The question of the day today, Tolos, is what is the one thing that you held on to for years and years and years and you're glad you did? Remember yesterday, we did the opposite. The one thing that you held on to, you thought it was going to be the next big thing, yeah. And it ended up being worthless. And I said yesterday, my Funko Pops, but I will say two or three of them that I have today worth a few $100s. So some of those were good investments. I mentioned.
Are you going to sell?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm torn because one of them that I have, and probably my most expensive one, is the AJ Lee first edition from WWE. And now that she's back, she's probably going to get more. You know, they're probably going to make another one, but I don't know what it's going to do to the value of that.
I gotcha.
I know my dad has a super rare CM Punk one. That was like one of his last print runs before he left and, you know, disappeared for a few years, tried out UFC and everything. But I'd say for me, outside of that, I do have a bunch of like early or like late 2000s, early 2010s Star Wars toys that, you know, like the Clone Wars era. A lot of that stuff is super coveted now.
Oh.
And I never really realized that there's like a Star Wars themed shop out in Fort Worth called Holocron. And I went out there with my sister when she was visiting one time. And we were like, this stuff that we used to like, you know, break and just absolutely use until the wheels fell off of these little vehicles and stuff. People are paying, you know, like $20 for a single action figure and $250 for a vehicle that, you know, we paid $50 for back in the day. This is crazy. So looking at some of that stuff, and then probably one of my most prized possessions ever, I didn't know we were going to lose him so quickly. I met Peter Mayhew, the original Chewbacca. And I met him at the studio. That's actually good. I met him at the Studio Movie Grill in Arlington at the Highlands when I was like, I don't know, five or six. Barely could understand what was going on, but my parents took us there as a surprise. Got to meet him, and I've got a signed 8x10 that he wrote to Alec and everything. So I'm like, yep, that's going to sit on my desk wherever I am in the world.
Yeah,
that's always going to exist right on my desk because that is the coolest thing. He was like, anytime with kids, like he was super good with the kids. Like he would give everybody their moment of what's your name, and he would actually write their name for the kids. He wouldn't do that for everybody. That was really cool. He asked us who our favorite character was, and you know, we couldn't say anybody but Chewbacca.
Of course you can't.
That'd be a bold move to be like, I like Wicket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're like, what?
And this was before he got the knee surgery, the knee replacement. So he walked around with a lightsaber cane, which I thought was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It was awesome. And I think, don't quote me on it, I think it was Yoda's lightsaber is what it was themed like because it was a green blade. But he was the nicest guy, such a gentleman. I know he lived in the area at least for some time. I don't know if he was a native or not, but he lived in the area, so got to meet him before he sadly passed. Seeing lots of different cards and stuff, Garbage Pail Kids from the 817.
Ooh.
I know that's something that's still popular to this day. Topps is still releasing those. It feels like every few months or so. I know my dad would be in the same boat. The 817 says, I wish that I still had my 1970 Dodge Challenger. My dad grew up with a 1969 Camaro. Nice, I know. And that's one thing that he regrets selling to this day because those are making a comeback, all the resto mods and stuff. But from the 682, I still have the Ken Griffey Jr. Hologram from that set, Kevin, from the 682. But let's see, lots of good stuff coming in here. This one's really cool. Another car that they still have from the 817. My 65 Malibu SS that I got for high school graduation.
Heck yes.
That's really cool. If you were able to keep a car for that long, one, good for you for sticking with
it. True.
Because one, takes up a lot of space. Two, takes up a lot of money to keep up and everything. So good for you for keeping that. And from the 817 OG Lego Batman minifigures. People will pay an arm and a leg for Lego minifigures, I've learned.
Yeah, my older son was looking through some of our Star Wars stuff, and he goes, oh, yeah, you know that minifigure's worth $80? And I was like, $80? I was like, can you go sell it for me? I like the sets more than the minifigures, but yeah, I get it.
Me too. I'm the weirdo. I like the diagrams and stuff that Lego puts out more so than the actual minifigures themselves. So appreciate the interaction there on the question of the day today. And gentlemen, this is from On Base with Mookie Betts, because everybody has a podcast nowadays, and Mookie's is actually fun because he gets people in season to sit down and talk with him when he's on like road trips or they come to LA to play the Dodgers. And he was talking to All-Star pitcher Logan Webb, and Webb was talking about his first All-Star experience, which was here in Texas last year. And he might or might not have had a rough night before pitching.
It was my first All-Star game, and I had a couple teammates on the Giants that had been to All-Star games before, and they were like, enjoy everything. Go to the parties, do all this. And I did. I enjoyed it all. I had fun. I had some older guys that were kind of feeding me some drinks. I woke up the next day, I instantly regretted everything that I did the night before. But, man, I got through it. I know I didn't pitch that great, but kind of felt like I made up for it this year. So,
did you know you were going to pitch?
Oh, yeah. But I'm like, all right, it's one inning. I can get through it. It was not easy. Texas, it was hot.
Did you almost throw up?
Multiple times. That was my first time actually running from the bullpen to the mound, and it was actually Will who was warming me up, and I think I threw it 55 feet. I felt really bad, but I was out of gas. I'm like, do not throw up. There's so many people watching right now.
That'd have been a viral moment, though.
It would have been, but I'm happy I did not do that.
So a hungover Logan Webb in his first All-Star appearance here in Texas. Didn't pitch too well, like he said, and his main concern was go out there and do not throw up. That was his one goal, because he partied too hard after the red carpet event and everything the night before. So baseball players are just like us. They like to have fun.
Man, what an excellent edition of AM on the FM. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, would any team actually want to trade for this player? And Penei Sewell makes history next on The Fan.
Third and seven, Wilson deep drop, shot downfield towards Wandale Robinson. It's picked off. Running underneath for Kansas City, Chris Roland Wallace. And he's out of bounds right around midfield.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. What say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Dip and rip it.
And let's start with Pro Football Hall of Fame nominations. Now, I know frequently this is agitating, but I'll at least let you know the Cowboys that I saw while kind of flipping through the modern era nominations. There's 128. It's a long process. You probably won't really care about it until we get to like the end of the year. And then obviously right before the Super Bowl. But I saw Leroy Glover on there. I know he's not like identified specifically as a Cowboy. But then Eric Williams, who we talked about with Mickey. Jason, we'll get to Jason Witten. Darren Woodson, who we've talked about a million times. And Jason Witten now on the list as well.
I want to ask Broadus about Leroy Glover, because I wonder if whenever he was involved with that part of the process, if they were kind of thinking that that would be the same Reggie White type effect.
Yes.
Because Leroy Glover was a super talented defensive tackle, man. And one of the nicest dudes. That's the one right there, Kevin, when Larry Allen said, "What are you talking to me for?" Leroy Glover laughed and said, "Sit down. I'll answer some questions."
So he should be in the Hall of Fame, if nothing else, for that.
Protecting me, really
helping you out. All right, I like that. Now, we talked about this yesterday. Terry McLaurin's not going to practice today, so that could potentially be bad for Washington. We told you to keep an eye out on that. But good news for Washington, Jaden Daniels will.
Okay.
So moving in the right direction for him there.
Okay, so they get a win with Mariota, right? Yes. And I'm not saying, oh, like now Jaden Daniels' job is in jeopardy. But what does that say about your team when you're clicking, dude? Like that team right there is clicking.
Right.
I know they didn't fare well against the Green Bay Packers, but that says something about what you're capable of doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, Washington clearly has really high expectations for this year. Unfortunately, the expectations are a bit lower for our Dallas Cowboys. Caleb Williams won his first ever NFC Offensive Player of the Week award after going up against the Cowboys.
Did Russell Wilson get one 2 weeks ago?
Ooh.
I think he did.
I mean, that makes sense, right? He had an insane game.
Did Jalen Hurts get one the first?
So, no. So what I think Corey is saying is look for Caleb to get benched next week. Is that what it is? Okay. Now, yeah, if you're playing fantasy, I do not think that is a bad idea to go all in for Jordan Love. Jordan Davis was named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, which, again, that makes a whole lot of sense. Not only was he involved in the play that won the game in terms of getting the block, but then rumbling on down there for the touchdown, that makes a lot of sense. Derwin James, AFC Defensive Player of the Week, and Jonathan Taylor, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, after scoring three touchdowns this past week. All right, let's go from, oh yeah, and by the way, in case you're curious, Isaiah Rodgers, in what was probably the easiest decision ever made, won Defensive Player of the Week for the NFC. Yeah, he did something that had never been done in the NFL, and he accomplished it in one half. Okay. I think anybody who voted for anybody different should never be allowed to vote for that award again.
That's all right.
All right, so Russell Wilson got benched, and I saw an article on Fox Sports that said, should the shortlist for the Bengals begin with Russell Wilson?
Okay.
And I guess my question for both of y'all is, does he have trade value, and do you think the Bengals look at him and they're like, we can win with him?
Mr. Unlimited.
I don't know if that helps his case or not.
Actually, that might hurt his case.
For sure.
Just based on how he did that. I understand the idea and concept of adding another one after a pretty bad outing against the boogeyman, mind you.
I agree.
As Brian Flores was rolling out, he was like, you know what? Bag of tricks, getting every single one of them and going after it. I'd roll with Jake Browning again. I don't know that Russell Wilson, you're going to make a trade for him and within a couple of weeks, turn yourself back into a contender. The Giants just cut him. They're 0-3. They had him already and they're cutting him. So why do you want him? I wouldn't do it. It just wouldn't make sense to me. He didn't have a camp with you.
Right.
He didn't know any of these players in that way. So I would avoid it altogether.
Alec, same for you. If you're a team that is quarterback needy, short or long term, does Russ move the needle at all for you?
Moves the needle in a long-term situation for me, maybe, if he has time. But at that point, for the Bengals specifically, you're expecting him or you're hoping that he does what Baker Mayfield did for the Rams a couple years ago, where he just magically steps in and wins a game for him without knowing half the playbook. That's just being dumb at that point. Stick with the guy that knows the system, has been there, and just hope again, like Corey said, you're going against different defenses every single time he plays. So maybe he gets a matchup that's more favorable for him and Jake Browning.
Now, this is potentially good news for, not potentially, it probably is good news for the Cowboys. There's reports circulating out there that Zach Tom, the right tackle for the Packers, he has an oblique issue that he is going to miss the game this week. And that's the report going around. And I know the right tackle, Zach Tom, and then the left guard, Aaron Banks, who's dealing with a groin injury. There had been some thought among Packers followers and fans that their bye is next week.
Mm-hmm.
And so that maybe you would kind of err on the side of caution and both of them would sit out. But there is a report this morning that Zach Tom, at least, is likely to miss the game against the Cowboys.
So you think maybe Anthony Belton is the replacement there, the rookie draft pick. And then they're already light across the offensive line. Their depth is not very strong there.
And probably because of that, we saw this with the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. They have made at least one signing, maybe another one, and brought people in to kind of...
Could be beneficial.
Yeah.
It could be beneficial.
Absolutely. See what it looks like. All right. Let's go from that Let's see. Where should I take you next? How about, do you have any interest in C.J. Gardner-Johnson? We talked about you lost the player this morning. The I think I see Alex shaking his head. No. We got asked this a lot yesterday, and you saw that the Texans obviously just picked off a player from the Cowboys practice squad. That was a cornerback.
Yeah,
this
that's
would
tough.
Be a safety.
I don't love losing him, by the way. He's one of those players that plays tough, plays good football.
And it's just like, I don't know. I go back to it, and I know, and Mickey pointed out that he'd only played five, Childress only played five special teams plays in the last week, but he's at a position where we liked him in training camp, and it's not like you look good at that position.
Right.
So even if Jerron Bland comes back, it's not like you're like, oh, we're set.
I'm with Alec on shaking my head no on Gardner Johnson.
Okay.
Already this team struggles with communication and knowing what they're supposed to do. Okay?
Word was he struggled to pick it up.
He didn't. Yeah. I'm watching a video now of him not picking up this defense well in Houston. The other thing though is like Hibbs' problems with teammates and other. He's might not be welcome back in Philadelphia for various reasons. This is a dude that's made some enemies along the way and maybe doesn't quite have that skill set to go along with it anymore.
Let's give a shout out to Penei Sewell. He, the fifth-year tackle, set a record for Pro Football Focus, the highest single-game grade by a lineman in the history of the tracking site. He also, and this is probably how he got here, registered the highest run-blocking grade of any player with 10 or more run-blocking snaps in a game ever. He had a 99.3 run-blocking grade in 37 running snaps. That breaks an 18-year-old record. I know we've had the debate discussion about the grades of Pro Football Focus, but it feels like most people could probably agree, holy crap, that's amazing.
I feel like the first game he was not that good. And then he was like, I'll show you.
Right.
Because he legitimately is talented of a player.
Agree.
And they ran the ball so effectively.
Now, I had a couple of other notes yesterday from the Giants that we didn't get to, and one of these is really in Bobby Belt's face. But first, Malik Nabers, he only had two catches for 13 yards and no touchdowns this past weekend. I don't know if he is excited about the new quarterback change. But then again, if you go back to last year, he's like, it ain't the quarterback. Thus insinuating, if not flat out saying,
dude,
they have many other problems.
It's got to be so difficult to go from a really good program and where things are a certain way.
Yes.
And then going to a place where you're like, this is the pros. It should be better than what I was dealing with in college.
Don't you think he thinks, and I'm not saying it would actually play out like this. He's like, I legitimately think my old team offensively was better.
Yes. Yesterday, I think Sean was like, all right, you take Texas Tech and you take the Cowboys defense and you take some high school around here, who knows their defense better? And
right.
I thought he was going to say which one. And I was like, don't do this. Maybe.
And the one that's in Bobby's face, Cam Scataboo had three explosive runs over the weekend, 10 plus yards and 4-7 missed tackles against the Chiefs.
Did he not like Scataboo?
I think he said he wasn't going to make it in the league and he wasn't that great. And a lot of people thought it was because he was mad about what happened against Texas. Just theories. All right. And then also insult added to injury the day that Russell Wilson got benched. So yesterday he was at a Children's Hospital of New York.
When he got the news?
Yeah.
Dang.
So he's still trying to help out and do good stuff. And there you go.
That's why he is Mr. Unlimited, though. He has an unlimited amount of things that he can do to help the world.
Okay.
Just not football.
Oh, my gosh. Anymore. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, forget using the extra draft capital. Who could the Cowboys realistically trade away that you'd be okay with for more draft capital? Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.